So many thanks to Gary there. And then we've also pretty much boxed off our little Japan Island preview.
Yeah, I think Gary touched on everything there. Expects Ireland to break away in the second half. I mean, Japan have made a lot of changes to the team, haven't they? And I think they probably would have gone strong if Scotland had beaten Ireland. But instead, they're probably saving everything for that last pool game. But like Gary said, it's going to be a cracking atmosphere, and Japan will want to put on a good show against the world number one ranked side in the world.
Yeah, it should be a fun old game. That is actually the middle game. And I've just seen that Rory Best, after playing the full 80 minutes against Scotland the game before, is actually starting this game.
He did play well. He did play well.
He was very good.
I mean, a lot of criticism.
But at the age of 37...
Yeah, I mean, it's a great effort. Yeah. I mean, he played really well, but I think there was some criticism around the set piece, especially the line out before the start. I expect in that Wales final warm up game, it wasn't particularly great, but other than that, I thought he was really good on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday against Scotland. So, yeah, he's back in the mixer for Japan.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. The other game on Saturday, the first game on Saturday, rather, is Argentina versus Tonga. The teams have been released. It seems like Tonga haven't made too many changes, and it's the same for Argentina. So, bit of a ding-dong.
You would expect Argentina to go strong, wouldn't you? You know, they know they must. I mean, it's very similar to what Gary just said there about Scotland. They know they must now win every single game if they're going to try and get into the quarterfinals of the World Cup, because, yes, England is the big one for them, but they can't afford to be dropping points against Tonga and at the USA. They have to try and pick up bonus points in those games. So Argentina want a quick start in that game, and if they don't, and Tonga do exactly what they did to England and get them rattled early on, Argentina will be on the back foot. But the problem is, Joe, we go back to it, Argentina's form has been horrendous recently, and that is something they've got. Losing becomes an unwanted habit, and they need to get that changed on Saturday morning.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say that's in Argentina's favour right now anyway is that they have the losing bonus point.
Yeah.
So imagine if they get bonus points against Tonga in the USA.
So that puts them on 11?
Yeah, that would put... So winning bonus points over Tonga in the USA... They need France to lose two games.
So, say they lost to USA, England picked up no bonus points in either. I can't see that.
Yeah.
But they can only do what they can do, can't they?
And exactly.
Hope maybe England obviously beat them, and maybe USA cause an upset. So, you are right, Joe. Those bonus points are going to be very, very important for them.
Yeah. That should be a good game. Where is that one? That is at the... Hanazono Rugby Stadium. I think that must be one of the smaller venues that's kind of a bit more out in the sticks. But, you know, for locals...
And I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of a game that slipped under the radar over the weekend for me. But now, all of a sudden, a quarter to six start on Saturday is quite appealing to me.
Well, there's no game tomorrow. We can rest easy, get up a bit later, maybe. I might do that, actually. That sounds really nice. I've got to write up an interview.
Yeah, which we'll go on to very shortly.
Yeah, we will. And we might as well get on to it right now. South Africa versus Namibia, quarter to 11 kickoff here in the UK. That means it's quarter to 12 kickoff in South Africa and Namibia. So not too bad at all.
I'll be loving it.
Yeah, mate. Can have beers on as soon as basically it kicks off. You know, it could be worse, couldn't it? South Africa have made a fair few changes, I'm noticing right now. Tende Matuari. Oh, no. I went for it. I was really the beast is starting at loose head prop. We'll just go with that. Vincent Cock, who else? RG Snyman starts. Lou Diaga, who's going to be joining Sale in a few weeks. Maybe we'll get to talk to him in a few weeks. That'd be good.
I hope so.
Well, hopefully Sale invites down again. Of course, we're working fairly closely with Sale these days, I suppose.
Yeah. With the old programme stuff. So, yeah, check that out if you have. Pop into the AJ Bell over the next couple of weeks. We're in the programme now, so make sure you buy a copy.
Yeah, all proceeds go to Sale Sharks. Quagga Smith is starting at open side flanker. To cut that when I leave it. To be fair, we got some nice shirts. Okay, nothing coming from Chris there. The big talking point in this one is Scout Brits starts at number 8 for South Africa. Of course, regularly used as a hooker for both Saracens and then currently the Bulls.
He's going to be popping up in all sorts of positions, isn't he, Joe? For South Africa. But, I mean, just on them, you know, they would be disappointed with sort of the way they sort of fell away against New Zealand. So, obviously the massive favourites to get the win and the 5 points under the belt. But they'll be targeting their second place, I think, now in that pool.
Yeah, interestingly, actually, because I'm just going through the team at the minute now. It would certainly seem like South Africa have only got two front row players listed.
Oh,
is that because... I see what they've done here. This is really clever. So with Scout Brits being a front row forward officially.
Yes, of course.
So they can have... So basically, they've got four front row players on from the start. Because I was trying to rationalise to myself why Eben Etzebeth was listed as number 18. Sia Khaleesi, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Nice way of doing it.
Clever, because obviously Brits is quite a mobile player, and then as soon as he can do all his running and then move into hooker.
Yeah.
And he'll still have probably a bit of energy left as well. That's interesting. Unless he gets injured, then it all goes out the window. and then poor Imbongjini for God's sake.
You've literally tried this, Joe. You took a massive...
I smashed it the other day as well, didn't I, with her?
But, you know, just say his first name.
Imbongjini. That makes me feel like I feel bad, because I want to try my best with all these players, because obviously we don't get to see them very often.
I just don't bother. I just can't be bothered embarrassing myself.
Namibia playing. It's a fairly similar team. Actually, do you know what? There are several changes I'm noticing just from looking at images. But we can't expect loads from Namibia, I don't think.
And that's a nice segue over to your interview with Jack Berger. What did he have to say?
Jack. Oh God. So basically, he was just talking about how Namibian rugby has changed so much since he was involved 4 years ago at the Rugby World Cup in England. Since he was involved, I think there's something like they've started a national training centre, and it's a bit more efficient, probably, rather than it was. I think they've probably got more guys playing professional rugby as well, which is of course massive for the game going forward. But the majority of the squad is still based in Namibia, which of course is probably not ideal, because Namibia, large landmass that it, although it is, there's, you know, it's a lot of farms, and there's not many, too many built up areas of population. So I can imagine it's quite a difficult, you know, I can imagine it's quite difficult for Phil Davies, the head coach in Namibia, to work.
Yeah, to be competitive, to build a squad that is going to be really competitive, yeah, to try and finish in that third place.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Italy probably secured that third place now with the win over Canada, because as soon as Namibia probably lose this weekend, it becomes a shootout between them and Canada for fourth and fifth. And
I think it's just
at the minute, I'd have to back Namibia for that.
Yeah, based on what we've seen. Well, obviously, both sides have played Italy, haven't they? So they performed much better than I think Canada did. So, it's going to be a great occasion, isn't it? On Saturday, two African nations going head-to-head. So should be a nice way to round off Saturday.
Yeah, that should be fun. So should we finish at Sunday or should we finish on Monday?
I mean, Gary touched on Monday, didn't he, with the old Scotland-Samoa game. You know, Sunday we'll finish on.
Yeah, we'll finish on Sunday. That sounds a nice way of doing it. We actually have to work out when we're doing our next podcast. It'd probably be over the phone, because there is a bit of a break between England's next game. I'm going to say, we'll do it on the pod. We'll work it out right now. I think we'll have to do Wednesday.
Okay.
Wednesday sounds nice. Nice quiet week. Although I might have to go to London, which, you know, it's fine. Just London. What else we got here? Oh, wow. Two very good games on Sunday. Two Pool D games. So you'll be watching both of those.
Yes, I will.
The first of which is Georgia-Uruguay. Of course, Uruguay with that historic win over Fiji at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it before. It's sort of the World Cup qualifier final. There's going to be probably a better title for that. But it is for both sides. I mean, Georgia will be looking at this game, and it has to be a must-win for them. They lose to Uruguay, and then their hopes of automatically qualifying for another World Cup is, I think, are probably over, because they will be targeting Fiji and Uruguay. Graham Rowntree's already said that. Milton Hague's come out and probably, you know, sort of hinted at that as well. So it's a big game. Uruguay in the absolute driving seat after their historic win over Fiji. It's a tough one. I think I would not have said it before we started the tournament, but I do fancy Uruguay. I mean, the thing is, the turnaround for him is so short.
That is the thing with a lot of these teams, though, at the minute, isn't
and
it?
And because Georgia had nearly a week's rest, like you say, Joe, a lot of the other teams at the moment, we've seen England today make so many changes. Are Uruguay going to be forced into a lot of changes, or do they just say, lads, let's go again, this is the final push, you get through this one, we'll mix it up for those Australia and Wales games. So it's going to be a big balancing act for Uruguay. But I think because it's such a short turnaround, Georgia might just overpower them. But from a game that probably didn't seem as appealing for rugby fans before the Rugby World Cup, it's certainly worth tuning in on Sunday morning to that one.
Yeah, I'm going to say Georgia just because of the battle of the forwards aspect.
Yeah, I think I'd probably edge Georgia but as then, much as I want to see Uruguay succeed.
Yeah, of course. And then there is the Australia versus Wales game, probably the game of the weekend.
Game of the weekend, isn't it?
Game. Your pool. Are you doing a? Are you doing a report for that one?
Yeah, it's one of the probably behind New Zealand, South Africa, and maybe England, France. It's the biggest game of the pool stages overall, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. And I think we're going to see. Well, I'm just trying to think. Australia would have had a week.
Yes, Australia would have had over 8 days.
8 days,
and Wales have had 6 by that point.
So it's going to be pretty full bore. Teams, I imagine.
You'd have to, yeah, I think if both sides harbour ambitions of finishing top of this pool, I think you finish top of this pool, you're going to play probably one of France or Argentina, which is more favourable than playing England, I'd say. But what a game it is to round off this second week of the Rugby World Cup, Joe, if you like, or the start of the second week, depending on which way you look at it. Wales' record against Australia, that's the one thing that sort of... But swaying my thoughts towards back in the Wallabies on Sunday.
But wasn't that record all based on the idea that they couldn't beat Australia in Cardiff?
Yeah, but I think it's just their own... I think they're just... Yes, yeah, that's a very good point. But even in World Cups, they struggle against Southern Hemisphere teams. I mean, Australia and Wales have been drawn against each other quite a few times, haven't they, over the last couple of years?
Yeah, so I actually thought about it. And I was looking at this pool with... So it's Fiji, Australia, Wales, Uruguay, and then Georgia. The only thing missing from that, from their pool in 2015, is England.
Yeah.
England, Georgia swapped out.
Fiji, Wales and Australia have been in the... At least two of those teams have been in the same pool for the last, like, 3 World Cups, I think.
That's mad.
It's mad. So it's Wales-Australia renewing the rivalry on Sunday. I think the way Australia came out of that game against Fiji, they'll be more positive and more of a spring in their step because of the way they performed in the last 35 minutes or so. Wales, you know, a lot of positives to take from Georgia. It's going to be an absolutely massive one. We saw in the Autumn Internationals last year, it wasn't the best game. If I remember, Wales, it was a gritty test match win for Wales. I expect them to probably try and use the same tactic again. But their record in the Rugby World Cup against Southern Hemisphere teams, easy for me to say, is... not great, and I think sort of the way Australia applied themselves against Fiji shows that Australia are more than capable of turning it on. So I think Australia, just for me, I'm going to go with. I obviously want Wales to do well from a UK point of view, but I think Australia may just edge it.
I'm going to say Wales.
Yeah, please do, otherwise it would be boring if we both said Australia.
I just think they actually were quite restrained against Georgia, all in all. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just going to say Wales.
Not keeping the powder dry for Australia?
I don't really like Australia.
No, no one does really, do they?
You're going there on holiday, mate. Be careful about what you say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Michael Hooper was great.
Yeah, he was. He led from the front. I think, you know, he scored that try in the first half, and in the second half when they got their act together, he was really, really good. It's just one of those games everyone's going to be looking forward to, and it's... I know it sounds incredibly obvious to say and very punditry, but it could go either way, this one. A lot of the World Cup games, there are favourites and you do back those teams. This one could go either way, but it's all about finishing top of Pool D, and if Wales come through that, then they've got a fantastic chance of getting to the semi-finals like they did in 2011. So really looking forward to that one on Sunday morning. It's a great way to sort of conclude sort of my Pool D for this week, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, so that would be the second week of the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
Going into the second week of the Rugby World Cup, sorry.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say is that week there aren't too many standout fixtures, but the one I will say is the standout is England versus Argentina. Myself and Chris will do a more comprehensive preview closer to the time, probably after the conclusion of New Zealand versus Canada on Wednesday, I think that is.
Yeah, next Wednesday.
On Wednesday, so I'll have probably a pint by then, something like that, just to drown my sorrows. Myself and Chris have very much enjoyed doing this podcast. We've had a lovely day at the Talking Rugby Union Offices. Thank you again to Karen Ashcroft for taking us in to watch the game. We really appreciate it as always, don't we, Chris?
Yeah, no, really good hospitality as always. So great environment to watch England thrash the USA and continue the great start to the World Cup. So on to Argentina. And as I think, again, We started with Nick Mullins, we'll end with Nick Mullins. He said the hill gets steeper for England, so it'll be interesting to see what challenge Argentina pose next Saturday.
Yeah, and I suppose we'll know even more so after their game against Tonga on Saturday. Right, thank you very much for listening to this Talking Rugby Union podcast. If you could please leave a review and maybe a little comment. A review is a comment, bloody hell. If you could leave a rating as well as a comment below, kind of like a nice review, ideally a nice review I should say as well, that really helps with bringing the podcast further up the rankings, especially on Apple Podcasts, which is how the majority of people listen to this podcast, I understand, from a quick look at the analytics the other day. So you can follow Chris at @C_Heel on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow myself on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at JoeHarvey34, and you can follow Talking Rugby Union at Talk Rugby Union on Twitter, at Talking Rugby Union on Instagram, as well as just type in Talking Rugby Union into Facebook, and I'm sure we'll be the top one there. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. You're going to hear the flute thing in a second, and then it will all be over.